The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Greetings! Comixology now has over 18,000 digital comics for sale. Download D&D World of Warcraft for the iPhone, iPad, Android, Kindle Fire, or the web for a true buy once and read anywhere experience. Comixology.com.
All right, everybody. Hey.
Hey, everybody.
I told you we'd have have an episode this week, or maybe not. As we all sit down, we've all had a few moments.
Why are we talking like Bing Crosby?
Because, man, that's the way it is. It's hip and happening.
Now all of a sudden you're Elvis.
So I wanted to take a little bit of time and kind of
Snagglepuss
and kind of reflect.
Exit stage.
I kind of wanted to have us all kind of reflect on how the season went and things that you liked or didn't like or greatest moments or whatever, and see what happened. Now Rodrigo's sitting here too. Now, we don't expect you, Rodrigo, to say, "Well, if you would have done this, I would have done this."
Right.
But are you willing to give any behind-the-scenes stuff or not?
Some. It really depends how it goes. I've said before that, you know, because every once in a while I get questions from our listeners, and they're like, what would you have done if the Torgletones have done this instead? And I always tell them, like, I can't tell you, because that's
right.
Part of the intensity of the
game is never knowing
what could have been.
Right. So, Matthew, what were some of your favorite moments of this season? I mean, that's a lot. I mean, we've got a whole year's worth.
Honestly, my favorite moments always break down to the moments where everybody gets to be awesome badass.
Yeah.
I really love the moment at the end of the arena where Torque thinks he's won. And then Rob is like, no, I fixed this. Because, I was about to die. Well, I don't know if I was going to die. But it was a point where I could have lost the skills challenge, theoretically. Mm. And Rob is just, Ken is like, oh, look, I fix. that moment where we get in the thing, and it God help us, it was Torque's strategy to get into that situation. So, Torque is a strategist. You know you're doomed. And we got to the moment where it was, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and Torque's like, I'm pretty smart. And Ken's like, no, not really. I love that moment where it seems like it's all going to come down to Torque's sword arm or axe arm,
right?
And what it really comes down to is Ket having that ability that twisted it. I love it when we have those moments where you don't expect what's going to happen.
Right. One of my moments that I really enjoyed was. I really enjoyed the Seven Owls Wise character. I didn't know if I was going to like that, but mm-hmm. I'd been pestering Rodrigo about playing a monk character for a while and mm-hmm. how I would play that. And then when it finally ticked or clicked, and I was like, mm-hmm. whoa, this guy can deliver some massive damage. Mm-hmm. Then it just became a duck and a hit. And then and so that was really cool with that. But the best moment I thought with Seven Owls Wise was when we were going after the Penelope's chronometer, and it was just Torque and Seven Owls Wise were just like
against the giant robot.
Yeah, and here we're dealing like 75 damage, and just between the two of us, and that was I like that moment.
That was pretty epic imagery, because I think that was the fight where I was like Torque back rolls over Seven Owls Wise remote. I love that whole fight. That imagery was just beautiful.
Right. What about you, Rob?
I liked not having to learn another character in the final episode this time.
This time.
Yeah.
It's always
but
next
there's still
time.
Next time.
I do enjoy getting the different characters from Rodrigo, especially since Sia made Gloss specifically for me.
Gloss.
And was Darkonche was the
Dragonborn? Darkonche.
No, that's the captain. Is the captain, yeah. The other one was... I've forgotten his name.
From Jim Bob.
From this, Coyle?
From this Nin. Season. It was Nin Grinchak.
Yeah. What about you, Brian?
I think I really enjoyed the Ghost Pirate Island
Oh, yeah.
Just for an,
you know,
ridiculous, gotta, fun little side story.
You know, I kind of, you know, yes. I got, you know, I, sometimes I like to mess with Rodrigo and just, yeah, just to see what I can, how far I can push some things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And certainly when we were trapped by the pirates and I was like, well, what do we got to lose here? We're either going to get in a big fight or we're going to make an escape. So why not play it up and just have fun with this dumb pirates? The dumb pirates are dumb. Let's see if we can bluff our way out of this. And that came in the Longbeard Jackson. Speaking of bluffing, I know Adriana, who's one of our listeners, who's part of the Super Future Friends, who's been on our other podcast before, she created two images
yes.
for this year. And I think everybody's that. Seen this.
Oh, my God.
Two pictures that she created. One from the Statocyte episode, I think,
yeah.
where we're running through the forest
and
all the
being
bugs.
Being attacked by Scourges.
Yes. Oh, yes. My face, my small,
my tiny, significant face. Significant face.
But the other one that she did, which, thinking back, is, again, a hysterical moment, is when Ket and Orm tried to talk down tried to scam a room. And it's just like... And it's just playing dumb, and I don't know if that's, again, just trying to get a laugh like we did the first season when Orm got drunk and was like, oh, Torek, you're not a bad guy. But just, you know, how far can we have fun with this?
That was a great sequence. That whole sequence.
And then the fact that Rodrigo just let it play out.
So that was straight within Ket's character, though. Yeah. Just like, I might Ket be able to get a free room out of this.
But the fact that Orm went with it.
And, yeah.
Well, it was kind of like Orm playing Gomer Pyle for a second.
A little bit,
yeah.
But it made perfect sense in his character. He's from the Feywild. He has no real basis for this. Ket's playing along. Orm's just like, I sure am going to play along too.
Yeah,
right.
It's kind of like when your grandma goes to the movies with you, and she's like, "Is he dead? Do you think?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it was an awesome moment, I don't even have an uncle.
And so that line, Ket saying, "Oh, I can't believe that worked," and then Orm firing back with, I don't even have an uncle,"
yeah.
Which was good.
That, but that punchline sealed the whole thing.
It really did. Just put a neat little bow around it.
Yep.
So, but those things have to be infuriating for you, right?
No.
Okay.
No,
because there are times like when
pillows
pissed you off. Admit that.
Oh, absolutely, it did. Because
I'll be honest, pillows pissed me off.
Yeah, because the whole deal with the pillows was, I'm like, hey, Steven, here's a piece of action for you to do something cool with, and you basically said, no thanks, I would like to just have this over with. That's what that felt like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That moment changed what the winged Triskelion was. So it turned out to be a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that just goes to show that I'm awesome at this.
It smells like mint.
But, I mean, that's part of the thing. Because in that episode, you were like, no, I want you guys to tell me what's going on. And I'm just like, okay, you said something about minty, so this is all a hallucination? Pillows. And so I just kind of picked up the ball and ran with it, and I really expected you to go, no. Do that again. Yeah.
And that was the thing, though, that was great about that sequence was it was atypical for all of us. And if you go back and you actually listen to it, it feels like the hints were there all along that it was an illusion.
Right.
Because everybody's weird in that, and I don't know why it feels that way. Because I know when we were playing it, I didn't necessarily have that immediate thought process. I think I twigged to it a little earlier than it became obvious in the game what I thought was going on. But it was a moment where it was just really surreal. And then you did pillows, and Rodrigo was like, mother...
Yeah, pretty much. So what are some things that you would have done differently as far as character development? Were you happy with your character development, Rob?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I wish I could have... I wish I was a little quicker with speaking, because Ket's supposed to just be this glib, like, ridiculously believable...
roguish
charismatic
charmer.
Yeah. Charmer. And he's not... He's not supposed to be that impressive with it, but he's supposed to be able to
smooth.
be smooth about it. He's right. supposed mm-hmm. to be really intelligent.
He's not
with it.
Sean Connery smooth, but he's at least Ralph Malph smooth.
What about you, Matthew?
I would say that the only thing that I regret is not realizing earlier that Sir Brenzen is basically Will Riker.
Yeah, that
moment
that.
Where we're on the ship and I'm like, holy crap, I finally have the perfect handle on Brenzen, and now he's dead.
Yeah.
There's that.
But yeah, it's that moment where in his last moment of triumph, much like Grand Moff Tarkin, he gets that moment in where you're just like, that's what that cat's all about.
Boop.
Kaboom.
Yeah. What about you, Brian? What about Randus?
Well,
I mean, you can't change your roles, obviously, but...
No, but I don't know. I think that's largely the thing is, through a lot of this, Randus was focused on basically getting these jobs done that were needed to, you know, finish the quest, and I think that was largely it. He was just very focused, so wasn't able to spread his wings too much outside of that, but...
As the thinky-thinky guy, though, I mean, as our resident Brainiac 5... It didn't necessarily give him the big character beats, but I love the fact that Randus is, like, at the center of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Randus is the pilot. Randus is the guy who's like, we need to do something ridiculously asinine. Ferb, can you fix this?
Right.
Yeah.
I guess there's one moment for me that after we'd released the episode, and it was like, it had to be, like, probably about 3 or 4 weeks later, I was taking a shower, and I was like, you know what? This is what I should have done differently, and it would have been perfect for the somewhat direction. I can't give everything away of what I want to do with Orm, right? Mm-hmm. It had to do with the thing in the circle that we had captured.
Right.
And the thing I couldn't remember, and I haven't really gone back to listen, is the thing that was saying, "Let me give me a 15-minute head start," was the agreement made with Ket? Or did I also agree to it? That's the one thing I couldn't remember,
I don't remember
as far
exactly.
as Orm. I know Ket was the one that made it.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he phrased it as you guys.
Yes. I phrased it so as we wouldn't touch him until he was...
Okay. Because what I really wanted to do at the end of that was walk in and just say, you made that deal with Ket, not me. Banish him. That's what I wanted. And then I was like, you know what? That's perfect for... Tell everybody where the status site is. Mm-hmm. You know... Yep. Do these things to these people, and I was
that's part of the thing. I mean, you don't always have the best idea at the time,
right?
Characters.
I left the option open for you to do that too.
Yeah, and
I kind of figured.
And I didn't even think about it because you know I was just like, oh, this. You know, we've got this option, and we made this agreement to let this thing go in order to get this information. But at the same time, we already had the information. I should have just picked up on. I don't have to let you go. You made a deal with him, not me. See ya, and then had little. Teefy or whatever her name was, zap him back to blah blah land. So, anything you would have done different this season, Rodrigo?
Probably TPK'd much sooner.
Yeah, murder, more
smacked
murder.
Us around a lot harder.
Probably.
Honestly, what I wish that I could do differently, I'm not entirely even sure of how I would have done it, is I wish that I could have condensed the season a lot more. I think
part of that is our fault, though.
Sure.
Because here we're spending a whole episode talking about scamming a room, or we're spending a whole episode Longbeard Jackson.
See,
and
those are fine. I think, going back through and listening, there are things that... maybe didn't necessarily need to happen or could have happened in a different order to speed things up. You know, I wanted you guys to get a feel for Shalai and then take it from there. And if you'll recall, basically, there's, you know, for the listeners, there's an episode in which all of a sudden the characters have this master plan of how they're going to take down the Void. And it goes from nothing to that plan, and that's because I sat you guys down and said, okay, you guys have all these resources, come up with a plan.
Right.
Because this season needs to end someday.
Right. Well, and we needed to level up, and we needed to move along. Mm-hmm. And I mean, again, and I think it's something that we may have talked about before, but we've been playing probably once a month, for sure once a month, for over a year.
Yeah.
Should we have progressed further than... 5 levels?
No.
There is no should in this game. I mean,
well, and you only get, you're supposed to play about 3 encounters per session.
Mm.
Yeah.
this game is very roleplay heavy.
Right, right.
So we usually get 2 encounters at most in a session, if not 0 encounters in a session. I still give you, if we have no encounters, I still give you guys XP for roleplaying.
Right, right.
So you're getting at least your you're getting at least your 1 encounter in technically per session. But no, this game is progressing slower than your average D&D game, because your average D&D game is much more encounter oriented anyway.
Right.
Or at least that's what the book suggests.
Right. So is there a favorite player character, or I don't know what's the word. It's an NPC that was not played by Rob. You guys have a favorite character of those? Like, we saw a lot of these little characters come and go and do some wacky things, and they add a little charm to the story.
I think I really did enjoy Belle, but
I liked her too.
Yeah, I still think my favorite NPC was
Reginald.
No,
Reginald. Go Reginald. Definitely Reginald.
Queen's Rebellious Daughter for me. Mm-hmm. I love her. Just the way she
Reginald.
Pops in, and you know,
what was that, Matthew?
What's that, Matthew?
Got to be Reginald.
I kind of like the little scammer guys.
The halflings?
Yeah, at the...
Prince Elk and his crew.
During the other third.
I kind of like those guys because they were just little...
Those frickin' punks.
No,
those... Cat's friend. The guy that Cat gambled with.
Those were scamming on the gambling.
Yeah,
okay. Those guys. I kind of got a kick out of those because they kind of provide this, you know, flavor to Cat's backstory, but also... lighter moments into the story as well. So I think that was really good as well. So.
Well, and it's like the X-Files. They can't all be central mythology episodes.
Right.
You have to have an episode once or a while where a mysterious guy shows up from Brenzen's past and beats the crap out of Aurum, and it turns into, you know, a big moment and a thing, and it's drama, awesome.
Yeah. I was trying to reference Chick Tracks. Did you pick up on that, Rodriguez?
I did see that.
Didn't know if you picked up on it. I figured, because you were like, here's this pamphlet. And I was like, does it got pictures in it? And the Chick Tracks are always these religious things with cartoons. So.
I see what you're saying.
It's a Chick Tract.
The character's dead, Debbie.
I actually think I personally liked Reginald more. But
why?
Ket actually likes Bal Balbina. It was his...
Yeah.
Like his favorite person to interact with would have been Bal Balbina.
Yeah, if Orm hadn't had that weird, awkward moment with the GM playing a girl, Orm likes Bal Balbina.
I thought it was
too.
Sweet.
It was a nice little sweet moment.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I missed was, I wished that I could have had a moment to say, "Yes, where is Simmy? I need to write her a letter." And then to find out, remember when the thing came crashing down and you guys were on top of it, ran right through her building, man.
Yeah,
she's
dead as a mackerel.
Yeah. So. There's that.
How many times did we end up destroying the university?
15.
Man, I'm surprised that Dean even wanted to talk to Worm after all that kidding. Stuff.
You mean your uncle?
Huh?
You mean your uncle?
Yeah, my uncle.
Uncle Dean, yeah. Every time the Dean walked in, I kept just hearing double secret probation.
That's how Worm felt. Oh, yeah. God, I don't want to have to deal with this guy.
Or, you know, just kind of hear Orm go, Dean, and then a laugh track.
Eladrin House!
I kept thinking, it's like, hey, it's Uncle Darkmist.
Yeah. All right, anything else that you guys want to add in some, was there any some behind-the-scenes stuff that... that you wanted to...
No, I really enjoyed designing the other third characters. It was... I really tried to give each of you something that you would be able to play and roll with. I think that you guys... And that's what I wanted. I wanted you guys to inject a lot of your... whatever you had going into the characters. And I think they were successful. I think the only issue with that is that having 8 characters to keep track of is difficult. I wouldn't change it.
Oh, you mean for you, keeping track of 8 characters?
No, I think for you, having 2 characters to keep track
of,
you know, I think, especially mechanically, it really de-emphasized the characters. I think roleplay-wise, they were good, and you guys had good interactions.
But having 2 characters is difficult to keep track of.
Yep.
Well, how many characters did you play, Rob?
This season I played 3 different characters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did we all play three different characters?
No.
No.
Okay.
Rob was the only one that got a new one during the timey-wimey
episodes. Okay.
Over the course of the game, I've played like three more characters than everybody else.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to go on the record here. And I don't usually do
a
this.
Record? Really? What is a on the record?
This is something very important.
Okay.
People don't realize this. I have created one character in the entire time we have been doing Critical Hit, and that character was the one that we ran in Steven's game.
Oh,
and Rodrigo,
you created that one by yourself, right?
I wasn't by himself.
Not all by myself.
Oh, okay.
But he chose.
I mean, that was the
like,
character that
everything.
I conceptualized.
Right, right.
That was a character where I said, "This is what I'm going to do with it," and I figured out what Rodrigo does. In order to keep me from falling back on my tropes and my catchphrases, he does not tell me who I'm playing until the night we sit down.
No, that goes
and
for
tonight,
everybody.
Tonight.
Yeah, he does it to
I
everybody,
said,
Matt.
Hey, can you send me this character sheet? He said, yep. And I'm like, okay, is this the right one? He said, nope. He does it just to futz with me.
No, he does that to all of us. I mean, literally, yeah. It is. I mean, I think you probably get the character sheet before we do because it's
literally... Yeah, because I have to email it to you.
Seven.
Yeah.
If we're meeting at 7:30, everybody gets here at 7:30 and we all get our stuff out. And I've been sitting here twiddling with Orm trying to go, okay, now what's the best move here? What am I going to pick? What are going to be my dailies, my encounters? And Rodrigo's like, give me that Orm sheet. And I'm like, why? Because tonight you're going to be playing this guy. And it's like, crap. All that
and this guy's
here.
Name is Chuck.
Do you want these back, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. All of them?
Yep.
Yeah, so I can just throw all these character sheets out.
All right, well, everybody, there you go, a little behind the scenes.
You can throw Brinzen out.
I know it's a short episode, but...
burn it.
Poor Brinzen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe he'll have a clone that was teleported down to the planet 8 years ago. And instead, it'll be Brinzen's brother, Thomas.
Yes. Maybe... Maybe instead of a disintegration beam, it's a teleporter, and he's playing
a magic flute on a planet.
No, I was gonna say he's playing
Deal or
No Deal.
I know, but
Brian, is there something that you hope happens next season? Without polluting Rodrigo's mind and going, yes, exactly.
Oh. You guys have to give me this. In the entire season, there are very few times in which you guys can actually legitimately go, I knew it.
Yeah.
Because
the shadow.
Yeah. The shadow is one.
Yeah.
There
was somebody who wrote in some big, and it was really interesting.
It was somebody wrote a really badass analysis of what the shadow was.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Was it better than
awesome?
Oh, yeah. And I like that stuff. But is there something that you look forward to next?
I guess I'd like at least some opportunity to actually play with some of Randus's new toys.
Yeah. And like I said, Randus that is a big deal with the other third. It de-emphasizes the characters mechanically. So you guys have some of you have powers that you've never used.
Yep.
That you picked up at like level 8.
Yep.
And they've just never come up.
I have powers?
Yep.
Yep. What about you, Rob? Anything?
For the next season?
Yep. We kind of know that Ket's sticking around at least. Or maybe.
Or do we?
Rodrigo hasn't actually taken me aside and asked me, do you want to kill him off yet?
Potentially.
Yeah, Randus is dead.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. I know it was a shorter episode this week, but that's okay. But you got some behind-the-scenes look of some of our favorite moments. Head over to MajorSpoilers.com. There's a link in the show notes to the... to the page, use the comment section and tell us what your favorite moment of season 3 was, and stick around because season 4 is coming up in a while. Rodrigo needs some time to decompress and rethink and decide what
season
he wants to
do. Season 4
next.
Coming September of 2015.
Well,
the same time you can get those Nike Air Shocks.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, everybody, take care, and if you got a question, podcastmajorspoilers.com, themajorspoilers.com/stores, where you can buy some merchandise. And until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Greetings! Comixology now has over 18,000 digital comics for sale. Download D&D World of Warcraft for the iPhone, iPad, Android, Kindle Fire, or the web for a true buy once and read anywhere experience. Comixology.com.